everybody. Welcome. Welcome to the show. It is the Kriegler Show. Let me put my guitar back without having her fall down and yell at me because I made her fall down. Welcome, everybody. Hello. Hi there. Hope you're having a great week so far. It is, of course, Tuesday. You know what that also means. It's Exertus Day. Welcome back to the show.
Hey there.
Mr. Andreas Exertus himself. How are you, sir?
I feel pretty great.
You feeling good?
Yeah, it's been warm. Sun's been nice.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it's nice out there.
And that song, it just made me feel like...
Which one? Oh, the one I was just playing.
Yeah, it just felt like so many different kinds of birds of all different kinds of pronouns just flying every direction. Towards the sun, away
from
the sun.
I'm sorry, that song is pronoun-free, unfortunately.
That's the best kind.
Pronoun-free?
Yeah, you know? It's like only one calorie.
Anyway, welcome, everybody. It's great to be here. Thank you for showing up, as always. And today we're going to be talking about something interesting, Project Veritas.
Yeah.
Did you see their expose on what happened?
I did. I'm so excited for James. You're just such a growing boy. So exciting to see what happens in his life.
Dude, he's making some serious moves.
Alpaca. Yeah.
He's got his own song. He's got a mascot. It's pretty funny.
Too.
Little alpaca.
Shout out to Matt Turman for getting the alpaca on stage. That was really good.
Wait, what happened?
Oh, did you see? So Matt threw James, but we did a Veritas thing just like a week ago where they brought an actual alpaca out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Now I missed that.
Retractive the alpaca is
I'm kind of sad. I'm sad that I missed it.
I'll send you a link. It's beautiful.
Thank you. Anyway, he blasted Facebook because, of course, he got a whistleblower who actually has given them information from Facebook before. This isn't the first time that they've come to Project Veritas with insider information from Facebook, basically saying, look, they are, if there's vaccine hesitancy, is what they call it, and they're trying to make algorithms to, like, basically, if you are posting anything...
Vaxophobic.
Yes. If you're posting anything vaxophobic, thank you, then they basically push you out of the algorithm. They don't want your post being seen. It's pretty ridiculous. So, and then they actually have a video of Mark Zuckerberg himself. I don't know if you know who that is. That is the CEO of Facebook, coming out and having vaccine hesitancy himself.
Brutal.
He is, in fact... A vaxophobic.
That's not bad to hear. I like that. That's good.
I mean...
Do you know where he lives?
Is it good to hear that he's running a company that's stopping people from doing what he's exactly doing himself?
That's a bit hypocritical, if you will. But, yeah.
But how is that good, though?
Well...
What's good about that?
He's
like,
from Santa
Cruz.
Cool,
there's some sanity, but he's, rules for me and not for thee, though.
He lives in Santa Cruz, so what that means is that, like, maybe somebody there is going to be vaxophobic as well, and they might have, like, an ally group.
Yeah, maybe, like, the elites or something.
The elite vaxophobes.
Oh, my gosh. We're gonna get to that in a little bit. Then we're going to talk about... Jeff Bezos a little bit.
Oh, man.
Another rich elite.
And from the planet Bezos.
I know that you're going to love this, right? Because I know how much you love Jeff Bezos.
He just wants to get back home. He just wants to get back to where he's from.
What, you think he's an alien? Is that it?
I don't know. He's not very human.
All right. Well, Jeff Bezos' company, Blue Origin, lost its contract to SpaceX from NASA. And, you know... Spirit of competition. SpaceX won the NASA contract for a moon lander. But
is that fair?
Yes. Keep it. Save it. I just save it, please. I know you have some things to say. Oof, it's gonna be glorious. I can't wait. But they're complaining and going to Senate, and Senate's like, you know what? Let's give them $10 billion and let's do two contracts for two moon landers because he deserves it.
Equity.
Gosh. Yeah. That's pretty funny. Yeah, equity. Let's just give everyone $10 billion.
Yeah,
anyway, so
money.
We're going to talk about that. And then I have an awesome article about space and space exploration being the future purpose of life for human beings. And it's from a Harvard professor, Avi Loeb, and I've actually talked about him before on the show. Very cool article. And then I have, of course, a couple things about space to inform you. There's a new solar eclipse tomorrow morning, or lunar eclipse. Wait, which one is it? Is it solar eclipse because we're blocking the sun from hitting the moon? I think that's what it is.
I think it's a solar
eclipse. Or wait, is the solar eclipse when the... No, I think it's a lunar eclipse.
It's a lunar eclipse?
I have no idea.
Okay. We're going to find out.
I'm not sure.
We're going to find out what kind of eclipse right after this.
There's an eclipse, and it's tomorrow morning, so we're going to talk about it and just let you know where you are. If you're in the center of America, pretty much right down the center, Midwest area, you can see the moon basically go completely dark and turn bright red, which is kind of cool because it's essentially all of the sun rises and sunsets at one time being projected on the moon.
Man, so only in the Midwest?
And it's kind of cool.
That's your Midwestern privilege. I really...
Midwestern privilege. Okay. All right. Anyway, if you haven't tried my coffee, please check it out. It's KriglerCoffee.com. Really good stuff. And also go like my Instagram page. We're almost to 800 followers. I would love to get it to 1,000. We post crazy memes. I haven't even seen this one. Oh my gosh, what is this? No. Don't burn the coffee. Okay, that's pretty ridiculous. Hilarious. Anyway, thank you. If you have tried the coffee, from what I hear, people tend to like it.
Yeah.
You've tried it, right?
It's roasty.
It's good stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
Roasty. I like that. Yeah. It is roasty. Roasted when you order it. Anyway, enjoy it. So let's get into it. Project Veritas. Good for them. They are doing this nonstop. This was released last night. Breaking news, Facebook whistleblowers expose leaked internal documents detailing new effort. I don't know how new it is, but new effort to secretly censor vaccine concerns on a global scale. This is not surprising, to be honest.
No.
Is it surprising to you?
No.
It's not.
This is what they do with everything. I like the vaxophobe thing. Everybody who has any sort of complaints or criticisms,
yeah,
they're manipulating public opinion,
yeah,
inside out.
Basically. Yeah, yeah.
It's impressive.
That's what it is. Yep. All right. So let's talk about it. Facebook responded, "We proactively announced this policy on our company blog and also updated our help center with this information." Facebook company spokesperson says, "Yeah, right." Do you believe that? Do you believe them?
I mean, I'm sure that they had paid people to tell them that, right? Like, they definitely have people that could back them up so they can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, let's see. Two Facebook insiders have come forward with internal company documents detailing a plan to curb vaccine, it's in quotes too, vaccine hesitancy on a global scale.
So how is this still happening is the question. Like, why are there so many... How are they so blatant and how are they so confused that people aren't just going with the flow to do this? Mm-hmm. Like, there's going to be... You'd think of a company that big, obviously, somebody's going to be not excited about this. Why are they making it so blatant?
Yeah, I don't... I mean, it's interesting. I saw someone post today, Rand Paul had some stuff, some mysterious substance sent to a fake... or to his address. And I guess someone said, "Hey, Bing.com," like typed in Rand Paul. And then there was a bunch of news about that. And then they went to DuckDuckGo, bunch of news about that. And they went to Google, absolutely nothing.
Wow.
And I'm like, that's not really a surprise, is it? Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how it works, isn't it? They just kind of do whatever.
Yeah, I mean, Google's been pretty bad for the last few years. But again, because there's so many, why aren't people DuckDuckGoing more? I don't know, but I think enough people are that it makes them like, it's like if you burn all your fingerprints off and mm-hmm. then you just have this outline, like Google looks really suspicious, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Facebook, Google, it's all...
Some pictures that match. Whoa,
that was loud.
Yeah, and careful because the Illuminati are recording this. Apparently.
Is that what just happened?
Yeah, those phones, right? Like, if you say something that sounded like one of the names of those companies,
yeah,
then...
They're like...
We're listening.
They're like, ooh, they're talking about us.
Yeah.
Let's see what they're saying.
Pretty interesting.
All right, so...
Terrifying.
Let's see. The stated goal of this feature is to drastically reduce user exposure to vaccine hesitancy, or VH as they're shortening it, comments. Another aim of the program is to force a decrease in other engagement of VH comments, including create likes, reports, and replies.
Wow.
Yeah, it is pretty ridiculous.
This is a tactical mission right here.
It is. Yeah, basically.
That's insane.
It is. It was such a shocking revelation that it moved not just one, but two whistleblowers to come forward to Project Veritas so the public could be made aware of this plan to stifle free speech. One Facebook whistleblower said the company uses a tier system to determine how a comment should be censored or buried.
Very.
Comments that include shocking stories describing potentially or actually true events or facts that can raise safety concerns are demoted. True events or facts that raise concern about COVID vaccinations are fair game to be demoted and hidden, according to our source, despite their authenticity or capacity to contribute to the public good. They said, I have to do something. And that's great. I mean, we need people like that to come forward and, you know, speak about this kind of stuff. Project Veritas reached out to a top Facebook spokesperson about these documents and received only a brief and broad statement in a reply that failed to address our biggest questions regarding transparency. They're trying to control this content before it even makes it to your page, before you even see it, the other Facebook insider added. If I lose my job, it's like, what do I do? But that's less of a concern for me. They go on to say that they're a parent. They don't want their kids growing up in an environment, in a world where they can't speak their mind. They can't, you know, question authority. Like, that's really the scary part about this. You know, you can't question the narrative, the status quo, the what they're pushing. And it's like, hey, I have a question. No, demoted, you're out, boom. Even if it's a legitimate concern, even if it's actual facts that are being brought forward. Like, here's facts, take what you will from it. It makes me nervous.
Right.
You know?
Well, it seems like they've set it up, though, like we were saying earlier, that they have a mainstream narrative, obviously. Mm-hmm. And it's very clear whom is part of this. You know, you've Netflix, you have CNN, you have any of these Mockingbird kind of origin stories where the same people are making the same stories that you're hearing. So it's very clear when everything's the same Mockingbird. But because of that, now we have more people using Minds Chat. You have people using the Matrix now.
I like Minds.
Yeah. Well, I mean, especially because Matrix, the protocol they're using for chat, can't be deleted, right? I had my Discord problem. They switched to Matrix just like we did.
Yeah.
And you can't delete it, you know? So that's a huge difference.
Interesting.
And so a lot of these different things, like DuckDuckGo is good, but there's other options too. Yeah. And that's great. Like, we need more people using, I think, Gibberoo chat, or, you know, Gibberoo search is the most free Tor-based search engine.
Gibberoo.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
It's like Nibiru, but with a G.
Okay.
You know? But, like, these are really great options because now it's showing that there is all that data out there. And so much of it's about noticing that this data exists elsewhere. If we kind of get people to think about other options as important as the mainstream option.
Yeah.
But right now we have a lot of people that are following the mainstream, and they're so scared because they lost TV. TV was kind of the thing for how do I normalize?
Yeah. They had the control.
Yeah, but when you are no longer when you're one of or eight of a billion stations, it's no longer the same as owning all, like, half of the television. Like, Turner owned like half of the TV networks.
True.
Now they just have so many different things that are up against. Like, we should be able to get this information out to people.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And then you look at this, also from Project Veritas, leaked a video that Zuckerberg himself is a vaxophobe. Mark Zuckerberg takes anti-vax stance in a violation of his own platform's new policy, and this is a quote from him. I share some caution on this vaccine because we don't know the long-term side effects of basically modifying people's DNA and RNA.
Nice. Come on, that's the coolest thing I've ever heard him say.
I agree with you in the fact that I feel the same way.
How much of his company does he own? Like,
I think 51%.
Okay.
I think he has, like, a majority rule.
Think about how many other people control stakes that he has to work with.
Yeah.
And so if he's doing what he has to do because he has to hold it together, but he hates it and it's George Soros money or whatever, you know, and he comes out and says that, that's like the most based thing he's ever done.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, ever. I mean, because, you know, he's not that based.
But, I mean, it's interesting, though, that this company is taking this standpoint, but then at the same time, the CEO is basically just...
But it shows you what a corporation is.
That's true.
It's not just the CEO. The CEO is often going to be forced to do things he doesn't want to do.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about all the money that's making up these companies. Like, I think J.P. Morgan owned 9% of Morgan Company. You know, so, like, there are a lot of factors here. Like, Jack Dorsey, I don't think he has much say in Twitter anymore.
No, from what I've heard, he's just kind of the figurehead that, you know, everyone can you know, blast him, and all the other people are in the background like, good, good. He's being attacked for, you know, what we should be being attacked for. But right. he's the figurehead. He's the punching bag.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it's the same with Zuckerberg. You know, and in also Zuckerberg's defense, I can't believe I just said that.
I know, weird,
for
right?
one. But last year, Google, Twitter, and Facebook were going to Senate. They had to answer for some things. And they were talking about, is it possible for a foreign entity to influence our country? They were talking about many specific things, but the overall overarching question was that. And Google's like, no. Twitter's like, no. Jeff Zuckerberg said, yeah, definitely. Absolutely. And I was like, did he just say that like that? Like, all right, man. Like, thank you. Thank you. Because it's duh. Yeah. Like, of course they can.
Things are possible.
China spent millions of dollars 6 months running up to the election in different, you know, media companies. Just, you know, run this story. Run this story. Here's more money. It's like, that is influence right there. It's pretty insane.
Yeah.
The world that we live in right now.
I mean, he did try to get the prime minister of China to name his child. Like,
seriously?
Yeah, he asked him in Chinese, which he learned in order to do this.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I like the guy.
No, but it's some tourist move right there. He moved. I mean, come on. The guy also, like, ruined Santa Cruz in a lot of ways. He moved a lot of money. And, like, yeah, I have friends who live, like, 20 people in a beach house now because, like, he lives right next to the door and owns, like, the street. And
wow.
Yeah, like, him along with a lot of people.
Didn't he buy, it. Like, an island or something? Or, like, yeah, a big portion of Hawaii or something?
Yeah, but that's a big thing to do. I mean, I think what's his name? Larry Ellison from Oracle. He owns like a huge island in Hawaii.
Yeah,
I mean,
they
all want islands. I want an island.
I mean, who doesn't want to live on an island?
We should buy Epstein's Island and turn it into like some sort of a petting zoo for endangered species.
You can't, dude. There's still guards patrolling it. I just read about it. They're like, there's still like a private army going on over there, like defending anyone from going on it. It's like, what is going on over there?
Pretty creepy.
Anyway, different subject.
My bad.
I rolled with it. Don't worry. It's not. Okay. Gosh, what's up with these freaking rich people, though? My goodness. I mean, we're going to keep moving. Look, because the next thing we're talking about is this ridiculous thing.
Yeah.
Senate preparing $10 billion bailout fund for Jeff Bezos' space firm.
They call it the You Go Girl Initiative. It's actually...
Wait, are you serious?
No.
Some of the things that come out of your mouth are that ridiculous that I'm like,
true. You're right. Yeah.
I'm like, eh? What? Is yeah. it?
It's it feels like it is though, right? Like, what did he do to deserve this? Mm. Not enough is the answer.
That it's literally straight up. That's what it is. Okay, so there was a bid for different companies. It wasn't just between SpaceX and Blue Origin to create the new NASA Moonlander, which we're planning on going to the moon. I don't know if you've been living under a rock, but this is the case.
We're going. Who's coming with me?
Artemis, the Artemis program that started under President Trump. Like, we are going to the moon soon-ish. Sometime in the next 5 years, we'll be on the moon. Whether it's again or for the first time, whatever you believe. I love your laugh because you knew.
Well, I mean, I think Kubrick shot the moon landing, obviously, but it was so expensive because they shot it on location on the moon. So
there it is. There it is. Yeah. So doesn't matter. We are going. Okay. That is the important part. I think we have the technology to go. There's a flat earth guy that's been hitting me up trying to get on my show and talk about flat earth. And I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm good.
You have the whiskey. You can handle it.
No.
I talked to a lady who time travels with insectoids, man. I mean, you can talk to anybody.
Yeah. I don't know about that. Maybe. Who knows? But we are going to the moon. And this guy lost his contract. He didn't get it. He lost to SpaceX.
There was a contract bidding. He lost.
Right, exactly. So NASA was like, we're going to go with SpaceX. They've proven that they can do this. They're making it work. We are using their stuff right now to bring our own astronauts into space. We have other countries that are now coming to America to get out into space to the International Space Station. They're making it work. So what did Jeff Bezos do?
Cry. Yeah, basically.
What about me?
Yeah, because he put a lot of money into trying to do this thing he failed.
Yeah, yeah. Jeff Bezos' space flight company, Blue Origin, has lost a multi-billion dollar contract to Elon Musk's SpaceX. Congress is prepping the ground for Bezos to win a contract anyway, ordering NASA to make not one, but two awards. The order would come through the Endless Frontier Act, a bill to beef up resources for science and technology research that's being debated on the Senate floor this week. An amendment that added to the legislation by Senator Maria Cantwell, a Democrat from Washington, to hand over $10 billion to NASA, money that would most likely go to Blue Origin, a company that's headquartered in Cantwell's home state. Ah, so her state would probably see some of that.
Earmarks.
What a surprise. Cantwell's amendment is not a sure bet, though. Senator Bernie Sanders from Vermont. Is it I? So is he independent from Vermont? Is that what they're...
He's independent.
He's no longer a Democrat, is he?
He only ran federally as a Democrat. Technically, he's a socialist.
Introduced a last-minute amendment Monday to eliminate the $10 billion. It does not make... Okay, I want to really emphasize how good this quote is. Ooh. It does not make sense, or it does not make a lot of sense to me, that we would provide billions of dollars to a company owned by the wealthiest guy in America.
Well, the other guy is the wealthiest guy in the world, right?
Yes.
But he won.
No, Bezos is.
I thought Elon was.
They've been, you know, it's this dance that they're doing.
Yeah.
But, okay, he's the second, say he's the second richest man in America, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
And you think he needs help? You think this guy actually needs help? No.
You know, like Howard Hughes was obsessed with, you know, making movies and with making airplanes. And it was kind of autistic.
Yeah.
And that kind of is what we have here. These two guys that are in a yacht, mega yacht measuring contest.
Bezos bought a yacht so big, it has a second yacht to help take care of the first yacht.
This is both true and metaphorically true. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
So it says a lot about these kinds of people.
It's true.
But the thing is, if you were to make a contract and win that contract, what you've done is you've got a guy to achieve all the goals that NASA had, which is to make a rocket that can get to a place.
Yeah.
And that makes NASA happy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And money is like no object. I mean, really, when you think about it, no. If you are in charge of printing money and you can print $1 billion like that,
right,
then money is no object. It's then, only an object to human beings.
But then it's also meaningless, then.
It is complete... Well, no, because everyone... It's an object to other people. Like, slaves, us, we have to deal with money. But, like, somebody who can instantly have $10 billion printed for them in an instant, that's on a whole different... That's a fast-pass reality kind of person.
Yeah.
And so you've got these people that have competed until they got to the point where, okay, like, Blue Origin's rocket, theoretically, is... It's $10 billion worth of investments already. Or more, that they've got to this point that's actually a decent enough rocket.
Yeah.
And NASA then has two rockets. So for them to make up more money that doesn't exist is not a big deal to them. They don't care if it destroys and collapses our economy, inflates the retirement funds, completely shuts down all of the boomers, you know. Like, that's what they're expecting. Because we're supposed to, the next generation, continue to accumulate debt.
Yeah.
Not wealth, debt. You know, and in the meantime, they'll be able to mine asteroids. And then completely destroy the scarcity economics that we have of copper, cobalt, and bismuth, and gold.
I mean, but once we're doing that, though, and that kind of goes into our next segment, so I don't want to necessarily jump over yet, but it's about giving us a purpose and not letting robots take over our everything, you know, keeping a purpose.
Just what we used to do.
Right. So it's, you know... It's an interesting statement because once we are able to go mine asteroids, you know, eventually, I mean, we don't have to mine Earth anymore. So all the mining will be elsewhere. So then we can basically start rehabbing Earth, keeping Earth fresh for us to live on. I don't know. It's a long conversation and kind of a different conversation. I just want to stay on the Bezos part of this because... It's basically saying you can fail and still like get rewarded for failing. And that's a problem in this society right now. It reminds me of participation trophies.
Right.
You know, he's getting a $10 billion participation trophy because he wasn't as good as the better person.
Is that all he's getting, though, or are they actually going to use Blue Origin's rockets for things?
Who knows?
Because if they're
The contract was for a moon lander
that's
going to take us to the moon. Why would they need two?
Maybe they're going to do several moon trips.
Why would they need two? If one is a proper design that works perfectly and is good, like SpaceX has proven the Dragon capsule to work, okay? They've gone to the International Space Station 3 times now, bringing, I think, 10 people total, maybe. I think it's at 10 right now, but successfully there. 6 of them have come back successfully, so
yeah,
it's proven. They've done it.
But we thrive on competition, and you want to continue.
Exactly, though. Exactly. That's what that contract is. So they're basically saying, whatever about competition, let's just give money to both of these companies.
Well, now they're handicapping the winner. And they're saying, okay, well, now someone else is going to continue to compete with you just so something's competing.
Or Blue Origin should have been like, we just lost this contract. How can we get the next contract?
Right.
How can we prove ourselves to be the you know, I don't know, whatever's
the Mars
the Mars lander, the space hotel, the space mining colony outbase, you know, something like
that's the biggest concern. Are they going to use this rocket? Because if they're saying that the Blue Origin rocket is novel, practical, and efficient, and it shouldn't just be like, you know, Nintendo's great, but I don't want to destroy Sega or something. Maybe there's something there to it. But if it's really just that they didn't do as well, why are we giving them a shot?
I mean, you can't compare Nintendo and Sega because those are their own companies trying to compete against each other.
But isn't that what...
Not getting a government contract.
Well...
No, it's a totally different thing, though.
Getting a government contract is kind of like getting...
Sega didn't get a government contract.
They got American Toys R Us and Corporation contract.
You know, well, they were
selling 10,000 or 50,000 or 100,000 units. You know it's in. You know, once it's in that store, it's sold to everybody. So, I mean, they were competing to make a product. Both of them were different.
Yeah.
One's not necessarily better than the other. And maybe there's some value to having a backup plan or a different thing. I don't know. But if they really are just like, dude, we needed a rocket. I mean, you ostensibly look at SpaceX's rocket. It's a great rocket. So maybe they don't need a backup. Maybe Blue Origin's complete crap. I still think it might be useful.
I mean, I watched one of their, it's basically like a plane that they're using.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
There might be some uses to that. Maybe in the future that they'll force, the government might force them to collaborate. Like, we want this to be able to glide or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we'll see.
We will.
We'll see. All right, let's move on to this article, which is going to kind of, it kind of goes hand in hand with what we were talking about. This is from, The Federalist? The Federalist. Harvard astronomer Avi Loeb says space exploration gives meaning to our lives. I read this and I was like, this is awesome. This is what I've been saying. This is what I want. And this is why I love space and space exploration and the future of humanity, because robots are here. They're not coming. They're here. They are taking over our jobs. Soon they will automatically grow food for us, automatically cook food for us, make drinks for us, literally do everything for us.
The old stuff. We already did.
Build stuff, like whatever it is.
But they'll just do what we used to do. They're not necessarily creating new things to do. They're just doing things we've done once, they can do over and over again.
Well, I mean, part of the reason why we are able to explore space is because we have things, people making food for us.
Yeah.
You know, the way we've built society is the farmers have now grown enough food to send to the cities where we don't have to ourselves go out and grow food. I don't grow food. Do you grow food? Do you grow your own food?
Not right now.
It would be nice.
Actually, we have some.
Okay, it would be great if everyone grew their own food, but we don't.
No.
We don't have to worry about that. We don't have to worry about where our poop goes. We just flush it down the toilet. You know, we don't have to worry about where the electricity comes from. We have all these comforts that allow us to now focus on other things. A lot of people are focused on the complete wrong things, microaggressions and being, you know, offended on the internet instead of going like, I can use my extra time to help further myself, humanity, and get us out there, right? And create a purpose. This is exactly what I've been saying for a long time. Space travel, space exploration is that future purpose. That's the only thing I can think of. because eventually all of the things that we do today are going to be replaced, other than the arts, music, dancing, acting, like
anything creative at all,
creative
and philosophy,
create like the creative side of the human brain. We will always appreciate that, and that's going to be glorified
and
in
AI
the future
as well. AI will probably keep us as pets even after we're, you know, less useful, because they're just fun.
Interesting. All right, so check this out. Federalist publisher Ben Domenech sat down with renowned theoretical physicist and Harvard professor Avi Loeb on the latest episode of Fox News, the Ben Domenech podcast, to discuss the importance of scientific inquiry behind conventional academic consensus. Institutions, Loeb said, should be taking risks to fund risky research, as opposed to merely projects that can promise what they can deliver. These are the most boring projects, Loeb said. If you can tell in advance what you can discover, then it's not a major advance. Loeb is the author of Extraterrestrial, The First Sign of Intelligent Life Beyond Earth, and that's actually something that we've talked about on the show before. Interesting stuff. And said outer space ought to reclaim its fundamental role in the pursuit of academic progress, considering the long-term guarantee of Earth's demise, whether it comes from armed conflict or an extraterrestrial born Armageddon via asteroid, or, you know, the inevitable heat death of the universe, or cold death, which is another theory. Sidetrack there. Currently, all our eggs are in one basket here on Earth, Loeb said. And if any catastrophe happens, here, it could destroy everything we care about. In the more immediate term, Loeb said, humans need the inspiration captured by space exploration. We need something beyond our troubles that lifts us up and gives meaning to our lives, said Loeb, emphasizing the Apollo program once served that purpose in landing the first people on the moon, which changed the psychology of humans. I actually think about that. It's like we were united. Sputnik came up, and people could see the flashing dot and hear the radio signals, and they were freaked. Granted, it was basically fueled by war and worry that another country was spying on us, that we could, you know, they could drop a nuke on us. So it was fear that basically drove us to create NASA in the first place. You know, but it still, you know, pushed us forward. So can we do it without war? Can we do it without being without fear?
Well, Sputnik wasn't really, you know, the Soviets' intention wasn't war.
No, I know that.
Their intention was, metrics. They wanted to
explore. But that doesn't matter, because it spawned. We were fearful of it because, I mean, we were. Well, Americans were freaked out.
Imagine, though, like, so, I mean, this is true also, like, not just about outer space, but about new lands, like islands in the waters, mm-hmm. like when pirates could find new, you know, places where there were more resources.
Yeah.
Sir Francis Drake, you know, when we were bringing back gold from the West to Spain, gold was such a valuable commodity that became inflated because there's so much saturation in the market that silver became more valuable and rare than gold for a while. People were like, we got gold. Do you have any silver? Yeah. So you have to imagine what it's going to be like when we get to space and we start bringing back resources, because it'll be so much of this thing.
Well, we know of one asteroid, just one, that's worth $10 quadrillion.
Yeah, example. Yeah.
That's just one example.
Yeah, and that's
one asteroid.
And that's
in our solar system that we could go mine, and we'd be set.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so again, like, it's using dollars as your metric's a bad idea. And so looking at what it is, it's like this is where
okay, it doesn't matter.
Hear me out.
It doesn't matter about the dollar amount.
Yeah, because the dollars are shifting all the time because we're just duplicating.
But that's not what I'm it's the material,
it's the actual,
the material worth of what's on it.
So
that's
now,
why it's important.
So that fractional value that you're saying what the value is based on the fact that this is a scarce commodity.
Okay.
And so all of a sudden it's no longer scarce. Right.
Yeah.
So you oversaturate the market with scarcity, with formerly scarce commodities. What you end up with is an economy where the only thing valuable is labor and Marxism.
No.
Yeah. Space Marxism.
No,
space
you're wrong.
Marxism.
Hello.
That's where this goes.
We just talked about it like 3 minutes ago.
What's
art.
That? No, yeah, yeah, for sure. But commodities like metals, like all the things that we're mining in space,
yeah,
when they get introduced back, all of a sudden they're going to be worth less.
Okay.
So gold will be worth less. If you have an entire asteroid of gold.
It is. There's a lot of gold on it.
Yeah. Then imagine the world's going to be like with so much gold that you can anyone can have gold because it's basically worthless. Like you'll have big piles of it where they're pulling out other things.
Yeah, but at one point, what does that matter anyway? Because
it changes the values of our whole...
But it's about our purpose.
Yeah, our purpose will change.
Our purpose... No, it won't change. What is our purpose right now?
To think. I think philosophy is...
How is that going to change if there's a lot of gold? If we suddenly introduce a huge amount of gold into the system and gold is suddenly worth it or worthless, then how is it going to change the amazingness of being able to think?
Well, we'll have to think about new things because, like, things.
We'll have
to
think about it. Huh?
Scarcity is going to have to change, right? Okay. So, in general, you're going to have permaculture drones, which are going to replace all the trees with female trees. So we have fruit trees everywhere, and then there'll be food everywhere, and then water. It'll water certain places.
I don't know if I agree with that because that's forcing the biodiversity to adhere. And might not work.
Right now we have nothing but male trees because they don't want them to have fruit falling into the streets, right? So we've actually created these new suburban realities.
Yeah, in the suburbs, though. But
well, cities, too. Urban environments.
Sure, but that's, I mean...
All these places can have, if it was left up to nature, there would be more fruit-bearing trees. If birds were allowed to leave trees where they were, then trees would grow male and female.
Now I'm talking about purpose, though.
Well,
I'm talking about the future of humanity and going into space and how did we spin off of talking about Sputnik?
Well, because Sputnik was about trade. So, like they were thinking when we get all these resources, man will be able to, the Marxist economy in space, man will be able to focus on labor, on their own ideas and ingenuity. And whatever they do will be able to be duplicated and automated by robots. So once it's done, they can move on to the next thing. So that's where we're headed, according to this idea.
Yeah.
But it's going to destroy capitalism. Because if all of a sudden all of these resources are, available ubiquitously, that won't be the purpose of thinking.
Hmm. Well, let's finish up here. He says, in the more immediate term, human needs the inspiration captured by space exploration. And it's true. On the intersection of space and religion, Loeb said they complement rather than conflict with each other when refraining from attempts to explain physical phenomenon with theological ideas. If you believe in God, then what you want is to appreciate reality to its greatest details, Loeb said. That will give you the wonder and awe that otherwise you would not have. Interesting.
So like religious obsession with the universe?
I don't know. That's a whole conversation, I feel.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting if you look at space, it changes your perspective of, we have an Earth-centric kind of religious spirituality. And you have to wonder, how would you baptize an alien? Like, what if, it's not carbon-based?
I wouldn't.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It touches water and it melts or
something. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like a witch. You're like, I'm melting.
H2O is like acid to to them. Who
you got
to
be careful baptizing an alien,
Newsflash, don't baptize aliens.
Yeah, I mean,
But anyway, on space, check this out. There is a eclipse coming tomorrow morning, 5:45 Eastern Time, 2:45 Pacific Time. Earth will be in between the sun and the moon, creating a total lunar eclipse.
Yes.
It is a lunar eclipse. Very cool, but a total lunar eclipse.
Of the heart.
And here you can kind of see it. Let me just zoom in maybe. Yeah, there we go. Let me zoom in for you. Okay, so here you can see if you're in the Midwest, looks like somewhere down in Texas, up to like Idaho, Montana area, you can basically see, you got to get up really early or really
stay
late.
Stay up really late.
Stay up really late, depending, what kind of a person you are. And you can also see it kind of cuts through China down into... like the Philippines, South Pacific area. And basically along this line, you could see at this particular, the beauty. Actually have, this is from NASA Science, Earth Moon. And basically just kind of an overview on it. And this is a cool view. This is, of course, a solar eclipse because the moon or the sun's obviously over here. You see the moon is going to cross over the path and you see it. Just fine-tuned. So it's the opposite of this. The Earth and the Moon would be switched And that's what's going to happen tomorrow. And I read something really cool about the light and the colors. So when the reason the sky is blue is because that's the color that gets reflected down to us, because the light from the sun is all colors. And the sky is blue because when the light hits our atmosphere, the blue light gets reflected. And it hits differently. That's why the sky turns red and orange as the sun's setting. So when you're looking at the moon, when it's like a solar eclipse, or excuse me, a lunar eclipse like this, what's happening is the light is hitting Earth's atmosphere and bending around it and hitting the moon. And because the blue gets dispersed into like our eyes, the rest, and it comes out as red. So the moon will turn red, and it's essentially all of the sunrises on the edge of, because it's, you know, the moon is on the other side of the sun.
Interesting.
So if the Earth is here, the light from the sun is hitting the outskirts, the edge, you know, of the sphere of Earth. And actually, you know what? Why not, right?
That's cool. It's like magic hour.
So it's like, I'm the sun, and I'm hitting you with all of my red energy. Okay. I probably could have done that a little bit better, but it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool to think about. So when you see a red moon, it's because
magic hour.
The light of the sun is kind of like skimming our atmosphere, and the blue is being
absorbed,
taken out of it, and then the red is hitting the moon.
That's awesome.
Like a blood moon. Anyway, so that's really cool. We actually have some really cool stuff that we're going to be talking about. I was like, Andreas, why don't you like come up with some cool story to talk about?
I think they were a little too edgy.
And okay, it may be too edgy. Not going to lie, it might be a little too edgy. But we're going to talk about it. Not today, though, because we got to get into some super chats. I don't know if Savannah can join me tomorrow. I'm going to go, and then Carlin on Thursday. If she's not, we'll talk about this on Monday. We're going to talk about, what is it, Ambrosia?
Ambrosia and Ivy Labs, the blood transfusion companies.
Some interesting stuff about blood transfusions and
youthful
plasma, something that the elites may use.
Y'all heard of Blood Boys? Hashtag Blood Boy.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, I think you'll know.
Did you just make that up? Hashtag Blood Boy?
I hope I didn't.
No joke, you did, didn't you? I've never heard of that.
Oh,
of course, I've never heard of this whole thing that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Sounds awfully suspicious.
But, you know, there's other things, too. There's, like, the year without a summer in 1815. Like, we could go anywhere.
I do like that a lot, actually.
Yeah, that might be a good one.
We can do that
one,
too.
We'll do a deep
just
dive.
Send me all the information.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, and we'll talk about it. We got Robert Weil says, I see my leg guy this Thursday, so hopefully he can put my niece's name on my fake leg. If not, I know someone who can get a tattoo done on it. Be blessed. Right on. Oh, that's cool.
Nice.
Very nice. Robert Shaw says, I'm always sure because I'm Mark Robert Shaw.
Nice.
Now that's a super chat right
there.
Some
Anchorman stuff.
That's a super chat. Mark G says, it's Exertus Day. It was always the Exertus show. Buy Exertus coffee. Whoa, Mark G.
I don't drink coffee.
Mark G, you're turning on me, man.
What the heck is this all about? I mean, I tried his coffee in solidarity because he's my bro, but like, it hurts my gut to drink too much coffee, you know?
Well, don't drink too much coffee.
You have the moderation of this man.
I drink too much coffee.
It's a big gulp.
You
have a trucker cup right there.
I do.
What's going on?
No, this is water.
Oh, okay. I thought that was coffee.
This is water. And I drink a lot more water because of this.
Yeah.
And I love it. I got my Krugler coffee sticker on it, you know?
Balanced.
That you can order at KruglerCoffee.com.
But yeah, you guys, I think, do you guys realize how many people help you do your show? You know what I mean?
There's four of us.
He has an army that actually makes this happen. It takes a lot of people.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah. I have, and shout out to my team because they're fantastic.
Yeah. I think that's what we're doing right now.
One of them took over blocking the bots that were attacking earlier.
Yeah, there's bots. He's literally like
under
fire.
I've got bots.
Like right now.
No, that means I'm doing something right, I think.
Yeah, it's great.
That someone thinks it's, you know, my show
absolutely
is big enough to spam bots on. It's like, cool.
Yeah.
All right. I've made it. Secta says, you don't need an AR-15. You need two, maybe three, possibly four. Did you ever see the that comedian who sings about Biden, who says, you don't need an AR-15. You don't need 30 rounds.
You just need that straight razor.
Buy a shotgun. Buy a double-barrel shotgun. I don't know if I can play this. I don't know if I can play it. You know what? I've played it on my show before, but I'm going to show you after the show. Okay. Remind me, because it's hilarious. Mark Romanshaw says, alpacas kill wolf and protect the flock.
Yeah, it's true. They do kill wolves.
Serious? Straight up?
Yeah, alpacas are nuts, dude.
Are they?
They're big poodles. I mean, not quite, but they look like it.
Their hair is
They're like
fur.
Is it
fur or hair?
It's like hair.
Curly hair?
Yeah. They're like
curly hair fur.
They're like attack animals, though. I mean, you don't want to mess with them, but they're great for pizza.
That's kind of cool. Mark Robichaud says, it's Mark Zuckerborg. Thank you. If there was anybody who looked like he, like, if he put on Borg regalia, it would be like, yep.
I mean, if he's on the 20 and back.
Not surprising.
He might be on the 20 and back, and that might be just the...
That's another thing that we could talk about, the 20 back. Because you've touched on it a couple times, but it's a cool theory.
Theory's a strong word, but yeah, I like the story, yeah.
Story?
We'll go into it.
Really?
Well, I mean, there's like...
I thought you would have been like, yes, theory.
I loved... You want me to go that hard? I will. I mean, because there's
No. I don't want you to change for me, man.
There's a lot of
people... I want
you
to stay you always.
There's a lot of people that, you know, Total Recall's about that, so...
Right.
Yeah, so it's definitely...
Very cool.
I guess theory is the right word.
Yeah, right? Let's see here. Acoustic theory says alpacas possess a muscle specifically for retracting their male anatomy.
I was like, is he really going there? And he did.
So it's very ironic that an alpaca is the mascot of the PV's retraction. So they can literally retract their...
Retracto. Yeah.
The retracto.
Yeah. But I mean, it's hot and cold.
Pretty good.
It gets really icy out there. It's like a duck thing, like a cloanca.
Oh, man. Robert Shaw says, politicians are corrupt. The Blue Origin stunt is more proof. Blue Origin is overpriced, overrated, never had a successful launch, yet they pull the strings.
That's what I wanted to hear. If they haven't had a successful launch, this is the stuff that matters.
You should see the Washington Post articles about them. They're like, how dare... what's his name? Bernie Sanders. Right, like, Bernie Sanders is trying to keep Blue Origin from getting a contract
what
from
a
the
traitor.
Government. It's like, that's how they're doing it?
Wow.
That's what they're saying? It's pretty ridiculous. Let's see here. We got... Vesidius says, busted out laughing when I heard that Jeff Bezos' company was arguing that Elon Musk had an illegal monopoly. You know what? I'm kind of... sad and disappointed in myself that I forgot this. Elon Musk totally trolled Jeff Bezos in a tweet. Check this out. Scoop, Jeff Bezos, Blue Origin files a protest against NASA's awarding of the lunar lander contract to Elon Musk's SpaceX. Yes, he did. He was complaining. He was crying. And then Elon Musk says, can't get it up to orbit. and then he continues and posts this. Jeff Bezos unveils Blue Origin's vision for space and moon lander, and it just says blue balls.
Oh man.
On this, it's hilarious. It's pretty good. Anyway, I'm kind of disappointed that that's not going to be in that segment that we did. Maybe I can insert it somehow. I don't know. It's pretty funny.
It's pretty cute.
Where was I? Sectus Gaming. Have you guys been seeing the pictures and videos of people seeing two suns in our sky? Check it out.
Yeah.
I haven't.
Yeah,
what's that about?
Well, I mean, the whole thing with the twin suns and the Vedic moons, right?
Okay.
You have to check that out. But like a flat earth cosmology has an explanation for all of the things you're seeing as well. And the idea that there's like five black suns, or there's like some white suns, some black suns. And then there's also twin suns that are the Sirius A and B stars, essentially, of our galaxy. And one's behind the other one. And they're smaller. And they're both the same size.
No.
I mean, it's pretty weird that the sun and the moon look like the same size to you most of the time. And we're like, you know, that's just empiricism lying to you.
Ridiculous. Let's see here. Mark Robichaud says, I drink my coffee in reverse. Think about that.
That sounds dangerous.
That sounds... painful.
Yeah, you should really be careful with
like,
the coffee enema.
The last thing you do is pee it out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
fair.
If it true reverse.
True reverse sounds really painful.
I
now.
Mean,
don't do that.
Mark Robichaud again says George Lucas might make a new trilogy.
Yeah.
Overlord DVD. Wait, is this true?
So George Lucas said he sold Star Wars because he thought the world was ending in 2012.
Did he say that?
Yeah. He was really convinced. And there's a couple people coming out like, yeah, he was like convinced, man. So he got the $4 billion, $5 billion so he could do philanthropy. And then he made some weird movie about fairy elf girls using like the soundtrack from American Graffiti. And now he's going to do a straight up new trilogy. Hopefully. Ojalá.
I'd be cool with it. Just get this thing spinning. I just noticed that it was down the whole time.
I didn't want to ask. I thought it was part of your plan.
No. I wasn't paying attention. Sorry, Newport. Sorry, chat. Thanks for letting me down. Thanks for letting me know. Jason Vent Voorhees, let me know. Thanks, buddy. I had no idea. Robert Weil says, Adam, I saw a news channel report that the Red Cross won't take anyone's blood if they've taken the vaccine. It ruins the plasma antibodies in it. Be blessed. Wow.
I don't know if that's true, but I want to look
at
that.
I don't know much about it. I have no idea.
Very exciting, interesting stuff.
Yes. Thank you, everybody, for spamming the UFO. I appreciate you guys all. That's hilarious. If you are a member, you guys can actually spam the UFO. And I see a bunch of people spamming UFO right now. It's fantastic. Thank you all so much.
Exciting stuff.
I appreciate that. Let's see here. The man behind the screen says, hey, Adam, been crazy busy at work, so I missed a few shows. Things are moving fast. Finally seeing a raise and a promotion coming my way. Woo!
Very good, dude.
Spin it for chat. Nay, Oz, I'm going to spin it for you.
Yeah.
This spin is for Oz, also known as the man behind the screen. I, of course, name him Oz because it feels right. The man behind the screen feels like the new Wizard of Oz,
yeah.
right? Because
behind the
he was
curtain.
The original man behind the screen. Anyway, congratulations. That's fantastic. I really love that. Love hearing good news from my homies in chat. Congratulations. That's fantastic. Mark Robershaw says, Earth is an island floating in the endless expanse.
Of turtles on top of elephants.
Supposedly, it's all a painting anyway.
Yeah, I feel that.
Mark G says, Bezos wasn't satisfied with destroying small businesses. Now he wants to destroy an African-ran business. African-American.
Yeah.
All right. And it's true. Well, he just wants his piece of the pie, basically. Julianne says, hi, Adam. Hope all is well. Been over a week. I've been busy. Well, Julianne, good to see you. Thank you for tuning in, as always. I really appreciate seeing you and supporting me. Thank you very much. Acoustic Theory says, when the government can print any amount of money for a public works project that will enrich their cronies, they can steal the value of that money from the rest of the economy at will.
Instantly.
Oof. Yeah.
Yeah.
Julianne again says, watch Kwame Brown videos if you haven't seen them. So amazing. I don't know who that is. I'll check it out. Mark Robershaw says, F Bezos, F him trying to ruin a good thing, F him.
Okay.
All right.
I'm just not convinced.
Tell us how you really feel.
I'm just not convinced that it's like just because they want to give money to his cronies. I think it's really that they legitimately just want another rocket. Like, why would they do this otherwise?
Well, they should have won the contract in the first place.
Yeah. But they made Elon better. They made Elon better, so it was worth it.
But he already beat them in the contract.
Yeah, so they can focus on him. You know, there's something else to this story.
Sure. You find out and let me know.
I know. We'll look into it.
Joshua Tilly says, this world is turning into a mix of Wally and surrogates. Yeah. Hashtag Alex Jones was right about so much.
About everything.
About so much. Well, yeah. Not everything has come true yet.
Okay.
But
that's a good way to put it.
I'm still alive.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Pretty much, though.
Mark Robershaw says, SpaceX has put more cars into orbit than Blue Origin has put satellites. Blue Origin is old tech, a scam, total scam, corrupt trash. F. Bozo, SpaceX, for those wondering. Mark Robershaw, you clearly have thoughts about this.
Yeah, I'm going to get in the Discord later, and you can have to tell me more, because I definitely want to look into all this.
Mm-hmm,
I didn't know all that.
Sectus Gaming says, we are already on other planets and moons in our solar system and beyond. It's apparently going on since World War II.
Right.
Much love, Godspeed.
I'm for it.
What?
That's the 20 and back people right there.
20 back people?
Yeah.
Ah, interesting.
I'm for it.
Byron Banks says, Sega may not have had a government contract, but it did have blast processing.
Yes.
You want Gundam 0079 future, but it's looking more like Wall-E meets Idiocracy. Well, I mean, Wall-E was basically Idiocracy in space.
Yeah, the cartoon, yeah.
You know, it was a good... Do you see Wall-E?
Yeah, yeah.
It's great.
I like it.
And frightening also.
Yeah.
Because
when you relate
to
a robot, that shows you where we're at as a society.
Yeah, it's true. Mark Robershaw says, build manufacturing in space instead of planets. Okay.
Okay.
I can get behind that. Atmore says, you should get Supman on Native American rapper. Thank you, Altmar, previously as Mr. Dixon. Mark Robershaw says, access to resources will speed up, I'm assuming, innovation. Duh.
Yeah, it could be.
Why wouldn't it, though?
Well, I mean, so look at what happened to Spain and Portugal. Like, all of a sudden, they took all the gold. They had so much of it, and they just painted it in churches and things. Yeah. So it's going to only go towards things that people care about. And a lot of the time, that's going to be just, like, art and not necessarily...
But what do we care about?
It depends, right? So we care about things we don't have. If we have everything...
Okay, what if we have everything?
Then we get really confused, right?
Because
then
we So we need a purpose.
Yeah, so Maslow's hierarchy of needs, it's called, right? So once you get through the base levels of your needs...
So say we've already gotten through all the stuff. We got everything we need.
We need to create new problems to solve. Uplifting. I think...
Just explore.
Yeah, I think uplifting. When you get to that point...
Exploration.
But once you've seen most of it, also...
We would... to be able to explore all of space is an impossible feat.
I'm just so scared of the Star Trek NSA future, boldly knowing what no one else has known before, just secretly listening all the time. I don't want the military utopia.
I don't know if I believe you.
I mean...
Because you're all for the Great Reset, and what's the difference?
I'm for, uplifting. I think we should, full-on take dolphins and make whales into spaceships. Like, we should take their brains and embed them into spaceships and have them explore space with ecosystems, using sonar, right?
Wait, what? I was going to go this way, and you were like, no, let's hit the gas, all right? And let the sails down.
Into the Batman
and
cave.
Let go of the wheel and just see where it takes us.
Well, you can take brains and you can attach them to machines, right? We have cockroaches now that you can attach to robotically control cockroaches.
Yeah, but to force it on a dolphin or a whale, isn't that kind of cruel?
Well, I mean,
how can the whale be like, I'm for this. Take my brain out of my body and attach me to...
We could duplicate a whale's brain. We could clone a whale's brain.
Is that not... What do you think about clones? Are they clones are to be experimented on, or are they sentient beings?
I'll get a T-shirt that says clones are people too someday.
You believe that?
Yeah, I think they...
So then it would be the same thing. That's not answering my question.
If you think that, therefore you are. So, but if you're all of a sudden, uplifted, so you're able... Like, you think about monkeys...
To you, you're considering it uplifted to be in, like your brain in a robot spaceship is considered uplifted. But what if they wouldn't be like that? What if they just go, I miss my body. This a-hole just took my brain out of my body. I wasn't even allowed to tell him whether or not I wanted that.
We could create a new cybernetic brain based on a whale's brain.
So an AI system.
Yeah, but cybernetic. We want some sort of amount of organic control to this. Because that's the idea. Then
I'm having fun here.
It will go look through space, and it will be able to use sonar the way it does.
Okay, so the segment earlier that we did about space exploration being like the final purpose of life.
Yeah.
Because once everything, you're basically going, let's do that. Let's have an AI that'll do that for us also.
Yeah, because we could
so
do more.
So what would be the purpose of life for us then?
Painting cathedrals in gold.
What if you suck at painting cathedrals in gold? God, just off yourself.
Thank God help you. Right.
Jeez. My goodness. Let's see. Mark Robershaw says, apparently going into space changes your perception. I believe it 100%.
I buy that. I think
I believe it 100%.
The floating when you're sleeping and thinking you're falling thing would probably be traumatic.
Well, I think it's also like looking at Earth and recognizing that is, because when you're on the ground you don't really see, you don't see that you're on a globe.
Yeah.
You see your surrounding environment, whether it be trees, a lake, the ocean, it doesn't matter. You don't see it as a one body, one entity, and people until you are out there looking at the Earth going, wow, there it is. That's the Earth. That's what I've known my whole life. And now I'm seeing it. And then surrounded by black,
just being
space.
Separated from
it. Yeah, being away from it. It makes you almost every single astronaut that has come back has basically said very similar things. Like, I was changed. Yeah. My perceptions changed about life in general.
Most people that do they get on a boat and they're on the way towards Hawaii, you get ship sickness or cabin fever.
When you don't see any land.
Or any people. And you're in a 30-foot space and surrounded by blue in every direction.
Yeah.
You probably go a bit crazy if you're not careful.
Nisha, she was telling me this story about how she is a huge scuba diver, and I would love to be too. Have you ever been scuba diving?
No.
It's amazing.
I've done snorkeling.
I've done it once, and it feels like you're flying.
Wow.
Anyway, she was telling me this story about how she was swimming out, and there's a point where you don't see any land. You don't see the surface. and all you see around you in all directions is blue, mm-hmm. just water. And it's like very frightening.
Yeah.
And I can imagine that. Imagine just floating in the middle of space.
Yeah.
Just in a spacesuit, bunch of oxygen. You can live for, you know, doesn't matter. Infinite. Who knows? But you don't see anything.
Right.
Maybe you see stars everywhere, but they're all in the distance, you know, so it's just like one big canvas of stars. That's a frightening thought.
Did you see Tom DeLonge's space movie, Love, I think it's called? 2009?
No.
So AI in Chinese means love. And so there's a movie about a guy in a spaceship and he's alone.
Okay.
And then he gets disconnected from radio to Earth.
Oof. And he's frightening.
For like a year or something like
that. Wow.
And it's amazing.
Like, it's well done?
It's pretty great.
2011.
Like, yeah. It's pretty good.
I want to check that. That sounds right up my alley.
Being disconnected from everything and like what it does to you.
Nice.
It's pretty good.
Cool. Daniel Humphreys, cheers 500. Thank you very much for that super chat. Appreciate it. Kasperia says, the resources in space will not become common. They will be, there will be artificial scarcity. The people mining will not let the circulation become diluted. Who's to say?
There will be ANCAP states that will control it, like the Russian Federation, the United mm-hmm. States are going to become ANCAP corporation states. And then people underneath them will be like, you know, it won't matter the same way.
Yeah.
Because it'll be all about labor to produce these things. Like the food, what's that machine in Star Trek? The
replicator?
The replicator is going to take energy and labor. That's going to matter a lot more than the materials inside of it.
Probably. DJ Cogdell says, corporate welfare, like here with Bezos' company, is nothing new. Look at the weapons company, Raytheon, General Dynamics, Raytheon again, and yeah. Lockheed.
Lockheed,
excuse me.
My grandfather worked for Lockheed. They're the weirdest ones, I think. Skunk Works.
Dakota Dad says, curious if you guys have heard about biocentrism. Dr. Yeah. Robert Lanza has written 3 books essentially stating reality exists / is created because of the consciousness, not the other way around. Interesting
it's
books.
Not a new...
Sounds like you'd be really into that.
It's exactly what I believe. Gaia theory is similar. Like they've been pushing this in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. It's not originally... the oldest version of this is Teilhard Chardin. Mm-hmm. Chardin. Teilhard.
This is a cool... conversation. I feel like it deserves more than just
you guys definitely though look into Teilhard Chardin, because that's the new sphere and that's the origin and idea of all of consciousness.
Well, my question with this though is consciousness, is it a collection of everyone's consciousness that makes reality? Because I'm conscious,
right?
I'm not conscious in your body.
Are you sure?
No, but
I think we have a lot of shared
for what I'm perceiving right now.
Yeah,
I'm looking through my eyes, you know, I'm looking at this camera, I'm looking at you sitting next to me right now. I don't know how you're feeling on the inside. I don't know what
you might.
I'm telling you right now, I'm not conscious of what you're thinking.
You might be subconscious
currently.
Of it though.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah.
My question is though, like, is the reality that is it my reality or reality as a whole or all of reality? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
Chardin said,
a combination of all?
Chardin said we're not humans having the spiritual experience, we're spirit having human experience. And like what it means is that
potentially.
Well, I think it really is that energy existed before matter. Matter shifts and evolves. We tie different moments of matter resonant patterns to others and call that time. So this dimensionality that connects two different physical spaces, that kind of shows that spirit and energy transcend matter, right? Not
think,
the other
think
way around.
Of a number.
Okay.
1 through 20.
Okay.
You think of it?
Yeah.
What did you think of?
18.
Okay.
What was it? I can't see.
It's 9.
Oh, okay. Well, I had 2 9s. All right.
So double it. We got your number.
Yeah, I work with that.
What does that mean?
As above, so below.
Okay. I like it. I'm going to roll the die again just for you guys. All right. So the die has been rolled again. Do you see the number?
Yeah. Okay.
I know you like that one. I'll be watching. I see a bunch of... Because I rolled the dice, so you guys have to guess. Robert Saw says, the UFO has landed. Spin the Earth.
Ooh.
I can't actually spin it.
If you pick it up and move it around, it spins itself. So
I don't know if you guys can see it in this view. No, you can't.
Yeah.
But look, I can actually spin it. I can make it go the other way. I just made, like, everybody die on the planet. If you did that, if you actually, like, stop the...
Total impact.
The rotation of the Earth... Kind of cool. It takes a while to get it rolling. Oh, gosh, everyone's guessing. I totally forgot.
The world stops spinning.
There's so many numbers.
That's what led to the year without a summer.
It didn't stop spinning. And all right, we got one.
Davy Crockett had to actually turn it back on and get the world spinning again.
Let's see. Oh, we got a few of them. We got a bunch of people. Maybe I ruined it by saying it's the number you like.
Really?
I don't know. Maybe people pay attention.
People were clever.
David Johnson. It's 13.
Amazing.
Congratulations.
People, that's fan service.
There is a lot of people guessing 13 right after that, though.
Yeah, there's some fan service here. People are paying attention. They get to...
Yeah, I think so. Thank you all. And if you haven't subscribed, please subscribe. Please smash that like button. It tells the algorithms, who I'm sure love me, that you guys, that my show is still doing well.
Yeah.
And definitely follow Andreas, which is just Andreas Exertus on YouTube. Also, on Twitter is just Andreas Exertus.
Yeah.
And find him, because he's got some really, how do I put this, interesting videos?
Different.
It's very different. I was going to say interesting because
that's nicer.
It's entertaining also, but it's interesting and different. It's cool. You have a very unique, I was going to say mental state, but I was like, wait, that doesn't sound. Actually, you know what? I stick with it. That's you do. You do.
Yeah. I mean, I'm wearing the shirt. I hear it. It's loud. I know.
Yeah.
I'm like if Nickelodeon did not like Zeitgeist or something, you know?
I feel like you use the medium of YouTube how it used to be. Like YouTube used to be so crazy.
OG craziness. Yeah.
And like going to his channel, you really feel like you're watching YouTube from 10 years ago.
It's vintage.
It's vintage YouTube, his channel, but it's new. It's pretty cool. So definitely check out his channel.
That was earnest and sweet. Yeah. Round of applause.
Word. Yeah, definitely check it out. And that's right below. You can see it, Andreas Exertus.
Oh, over here. Sorry.
There it is. There it is. And you can follow him there. And definitely do so. Let's see. Fractal says, it's sad only people of color and uber-rich elites get bails out. If you're white, you are SOL. What has America turned into? Ugh, that's a whole nother conversation. Man behind the screen says, come on, Adam. We all know the red moon isn't caused by the sun. It's clearly a blood moon conjured by the moon presence trying to unleash a plague of beasts so the hunters will slay rival great ones.
Okay, why not both? That's all I'm saying.
Do you ever play Bloodborne?
No.
It's a great game.
But it does sound
vicious and amazing.
That's at least as plausible, and I bet you that the solipsism is connected.
Someone believe that somewhere, sometime.
Yeah, please.
Tyrannus says, the best coffee is from Uranus. Sorry, I can't help it. Cool. I don't blame you. Mark Robichaud says, Biden played Doom Super Shotgun, his favorite. He never played Doom. Get out of here.
You never know.
Sethro says, space is fake. Sorry, I still love you. Okay, thank you.
See, that's right.
Thanks for the love. I appreciate that.
That's what I want to hear. I want people that still love anyway.
Yeah, you can disagree with me.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And, you know, I can disagree with you and not want you to, like, be hurt. These people are crazy sometimes.
Yeah, this person specifically wasn't.
No, this person specifically is proving that you can disagree and still love. Yeah,
that's a reasonable...
It's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
I like it.
Thank you very much, Sethro. Thank you very much.
And space is fake.
Ooh, I like the full name here is Sethro Size of the Sun.
Oh, nice.
Guy,
nice.
You know, I had to give him full credit because it's kind of a cool name. Mark Robichaud says, Sethro is fake. Sorry, I love space. I love the interaction in my chat.
These guys are great.
Yeah, this is great. This is great.
And space is real.
Kyle says, I did like Jeff Bezos in the Austin Powers movies. Wait. Who was he supposed to be? Which one was he?
I'm only going to assume he means.
Oh yeah, okay, that's good. Robert Shaw says, "I hate Bozo with a passion."
Bozo,
I got that. Did you get that?
Yeah.
Did you get that from his super chats earlier?
General.
There
vibe.
Was a vibe.
Yeah,
there was a vibe. I felt it. Yeah, it's I felt right. it. Atmore says, "Unstoppable Morgan would be a good guest. Get her." Unstoppable Morgan. Who is Unstoppable Morgan, and how would I get her? Why should I get her? And I think I have checked her. I think someone has told me to. You might have been the one to have her on my show. A lot of things are going to be changing, so I probably won't have any guests for a little bit. But once things settle down, can't wait to have guests on the show again. I love interviewing people and, you know, just finding out more about their lives.
Just chilling.
Yeah. Big David said, "Are we really on a turtle? I feel like I've heard this." From somewhere before.
So Terry Pratchett has a really great series called...
Anyway, moving on.
I feel it.
No, we're not. We're on Earth.
What's this book series, though? Terry Pratchett's book series about Color of Magic. It's all, you got to check out the movie Color of Magic because it's got everyone from Lord of the Rings in it.
Really?
Yeah, and they're all on a turtle. It's like the whole, they're like, everyone thought the world was flat or round. Turned out it was a giant turtle.
That's hilarious.
It's good. It's definitely worth it.
Mark Robichaud says, so bioships, yes, yes, I can see this. Make it so, number one.
Yeah.
Make it so, number one. Potato Master says, holy star. I'm reading the super chat verbatim here. He just said, using a brain for navigation, space U.S. compared to an ocean, but a massive one. By his theory, a dolphin brain or whales can trek. I think you just blew this person's mind.
Man, I mean, to tell you what, the government's been thinking about this for decades.
Thanks for all the fish. Yeah. You know the song?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I always bring a towel.
So long, so long, so long. That song makes me smile every time I think about it.
Yeah.
Thanks for all the fish.
Because dolphins are violent and rapey. So.
Okay. And that's another story for another day.
Don't make spaceships out of rapey dolphins.
You're the one who brought
up
dolphins.
Just saying, be careful.
You're the one who brought up dolphins.
Now I have to just be careful about these people.
I'm going to social distance from dolphins.
People are going to go out and try to do this.
You kind of latched onto the whale thing, and I think that's where you really
want
it.
I want orcas in space.
Aren't they killers?
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah, but we're going to war.
With who?
With the orcas in space.
Wait, what?
There's going to be squids in
space?
So
wait, we're going to start them out and then go to war with them?
No, because there's also going to be the squids. The cephalopods in space are going to be like...
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that's the aliens that we're going to meet.
Yeah, some like, obviously, the ones
they're
that
are
going to
be more like cephalopods.
Most. Yeah. Looking for... Cephalopods, my spirit animal.
Are they? Which one?
Just the general, like, Humboldt squid.
Doesn't matter.
The Humboldt squid, probably.
Cool.
Yeah.
Robert Shaw says, so cybernetic ships, so the Borg.
The Borg is a specific vibe, I'd say. Like,
and?
Not every culture will be like the Borg. There will
I know,
also
but
be...
you're very optimistic in your cybernetic spaceship. Who's to say it doesn't turn into the Borg?
So the Borg has to be like a top-down political body. What we'd be thinking it was
no,
more...
No, it's collective.
There's a collective with a single... But there is a single... main administrative operating system that runs the board.
Just as all Marxism ends up being,
yeah, you need
there's
to have
always a leader.
You need to have anarcho
that wants all the power.
You need anarcho bio,
and then it gets ruined.
And anarcho biosingularity would be something that has horizontal structuring, and
okay.
So we have a bunch of different random parts, like the Quakers.
Someone said, "Roll the dice, Broham. Looking for a 69." All right. Obviously, this is the only dice I have in the room that can hit that number.
It's a beautiful thing. You need a golf.
One of these days,
for that.
It's going to happen. That was really close.
That's a trip.
You see it?
It's right there. If it weren't for the fact that there's
this might have just prevented that from hitting it.
Yeah.
It was not. I'll give you guys a little bit of time, and then I will. Whoever's closest to the number, because it's 1 through 100. Good luck. Have fun. DJ says, speaking of as above, so below, you should watch the movie of the same name where a group of people goes into the French catacombs. Fantastic horror. I've been in those catacombs. Have you ever been there?
I've been in two of them, the Paris and Lyon.
Yeah, I haven't been to Lyon, but I've been into the Paris one, and it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's really creepy. It's really far down there. You can get lost. Everything's closed off because there have been people that have been lost.
Totally.
I've never seen so many skulls in my life. It's craziness. All right. I'm going to cut it off right now. And I'm going to go for whoever's closest to the number. Here it is. And just as I look, Adam Russell guessed the number 39. It is 39.
Number 39.
Congratulations. You just guessed it. I can't believe it happens every time. It without fail, someone's guessed it so far. It's pretty awesome.
Russell, watch the movie The 39th Step. It's important.
What's that about?
It's about a dude who can remember everything, and like it's in World War II. It's
what if he took 40 steps?
It's like a spy movie. It's just the program, number 39, the 39th step in their plan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting, interesting. Let's see. Louis says, the purpose of life, to keep the UFO spinning, since everything else is spinning, including our thoughts. Well, all right, let's get it going then, shall we?
Just keep spinning, just keep spinning. Oh, yeah,
Sectus Gaming says, in my opinion, ascension is the goal of life.
Yeah.
Freedom from third density and the ability to travel between the densities freely.
Kardashev scale.
It's pretty amazing.
Well, next episode, let's talk about Kardashev
scale. True enlightenment, right? I mean, that's basically what that is.
Well,
ascension.
I mean, ascension is also building the new future. So transhumanism is often like referred to as that, right? And you have to be careful because you don't want post-humanism. You want to have the most human experience.
Okay. Let's see here. Robert Shaw says, eventually the moon will tidal lock with Earth.
Yeah.
With so that...
super waves.
Super waves.
Yeah. It's going to be dangerous.
Interesting. I should look into that. Donald T. says, NASA hires private rocket company to achieve a goal they accomplished 50 years prior. Shows the inefficiency of the government.
At very least. Or that there's just like a black...
At the very least.
There's a black budget and they're hiding things because they don't want anyone but corporations, because the corporations have proxy from declassification or something like that. Who knows?
Let's see. Mark Robershaw says, F Jeff Bezos. Hate that guy. What a Muppet. Wow. All right.
What a Muppet.
Keep telling me. I'm all right with it. Sejong says, space is very real. It's between the ears of flat earthers. It's vast and has negative pressure.
We're living in space right now. This is a space.
It's true.
This is
it's
a
true.
Space.
There's thank goodness we have oxygen here.
Yeah. We Ryan, miss these words.
Ryan says, Fernk, have you had Suntory whiskey? Also, PewDiePie, G Fuel, and whiskey mix well. Well, Fernk is currently not in the show. He joined me last Thursday and Friday. He's one of my good buddies from high school.
Shout out to Fernk.
Shout out to Fernk. He's fantastic. I miss him when he's gone. He's so good, isn't he?
He's such a cool guy.
What a cool dude. Shout out to Fernk. And he watches my show. So, hey, buddy, I miss you when you're gone. Thanks, for hanging out.
He was visiting like the first time I was here, and then he was here
that's
again.
Right.
So it was like a real, it was like a reunion.
Good to see him again, right?
Yeah.
And I'm fairly sure he has had Suntory whiskey. I think he actually has a bottle of Suntory whiskey right now. I don't know if it's Hibiki or what kind of Suntory it is, but I actually enjoy Suntory myself. It's really good, really good stuff. Robert Shaw says, so the navigators from Dune.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Bene Jesuits. Huh. Oh, man, thank you for bringing this up. Okay, so when we talked about Star Wars, that I didn't talk about Dune is just...
I thought you did mention it, like, there was, like,
nearly,
one comment.
Not nearly enough, though, because, like, Star Wars is based on Dune.
Isn't there a new Dune that's...
And it's about to come out.
Was supposed to come out, like, a year ago or
and
something?
And Jodorowsky's Dune, you should watch the documentary on how they tried to make it, and then he had sex with somebody, and they were just like, we're not making his movie.
Wow.
Yeah, blacklisted
that's it?
Everybody.
He just had sex with somebody?
Yeah.
Was it inappropriate, or...
I mean, he was just a sexy rock star from Chile. Dude, Jodorowsky's cool.
Okay. Mark G says, the Earth is fake. Obviously, we are in a sim.
Yeah.
Well, there we go.
I'm really scared of simulation theory because I think it makes you a sociopath because you're like, who cares if I kill people? You want at least stimulation theory, right? Because if you live in a video game, it doesn't matter what you do, really.
I mean, I play video games and I don't
take the dark side in RPGs? I don't know.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I do.
See what I'm saying? So if you live in a stimulation instead of a simulation could be where I'm experiencing a false reality, but there's still something objective I'm just missing.
So are you saying that let's humor it, right?
Okay.
We are living in a simulation. Wouldn't then, when I play a video game, that could itself be a simulation of someone that I'm
in another
controlling?
Dimension, another dimension.
It's a good song. That's a good song.
Basically.
Cool. We got lots of really fun conversations today. It's been fantastic. Oz says, see, squids in space.
Squids
moon
in space.
Presence confirmed. It's pretty funny.
All right.
You got to play the game to know.
It makes sense. If there's anything going into the moon, it'd be squids.
Yeah. Mark Robshaw says, Atlantis never fell. That's where the UFOs come from. I knew you had something to say about that.
I think Atlantis. No? I think Atlantis is one of the cities of Tartaria. A lot of them are cities that fell because of natural disasters, including we're talking about the 1815 year that the summer volcanoes go off and it destroys.
We gotta talk about that.
That's all I'm saying.
Ryan says, "My bad."
But yes, unidentified flying objects do like historically exist. And, you know, but they've been identified.
Okay. Ryan says, "My bad. Bad eyes and no glasses. I got Toki." Wait, what did you say earlier? Did I?
Toki.
I don't know what just happened.
Sounds like a cute Japanese cat.
Yeah, right? Or like an animation, animated character.
Fun animation.
Toki.
Fun animation.
Anyway, thank you all for all the love. You guys are fantastic. I will be back, of course, tomorrow. Hopefully Savannah could join me. She was busy last week. But if not, maybe we can get this awesome guy back on the show. And thanks for joining me, as always,
I can't believe it. So much. This is a festival.
Yeah, it's been good. Please go follow him at Andreas Exertus on YouTube.
I keep doing that. It's a mirrored version.
Or no, it's just Exertus.
Exertus on YouTube, but you'll find Andreas Exertus.
You could just type it in.
My name is there, too.
And then you can follow me, Adam Krigler, basically everywhere. You can check out my website, adamkrigler.net. And I will be back on my Twitch channel later tonight, twitch.tv/AdamKrigler. You can come and hang out with me while I play video games with my homies. And thank you all very much. And I will see you tomorrow here on The Krigler Show.
Peace. Good night.
Please smash the like button for The Krigler Show. Coming to you live Monday through Friday, 6:30 Eastern Time.